Let us start our service with hymn 268. 268.
Good morning. Welcome into the house of the Lord. We thank God for each one he has brought here today. Do we have any greetings?
Greetings from Richmond.
From Richmond Hill. That's Dylan and Jaden. Which one is which?
Jaden.
You're Jaden. Thank you. And take our greetings when you return then.
Greetings from Mark.
Greetings from Mark. Aunt Jenny, thank you. We also have greetings. There were 23 elders at the meeting last week in Toronto, so they send their greetings, and there were others. There were a few others that were online, so we had a good meeting there. We also have greetings from Joe Kurtz. We went to visit him, and he wants to be remembered, and he wants to send his greetings to our congregation. And then we also saw Werner and Johanna and Edmund and Bethany, and they send greetings. And Bethany says, special greetings.
Special greetings, everybody. And she can't wait until we have our church anniversary because she wants to get back.
She wants to come. Yeah. Okay, and Mike Smith is also not feeling so good today. It's like he's dizzy or something, or his back, and he can't walk correctly. So keep him in our prayers. And then Mark Meister is also in the hospital now, and I wonder if Becky has any update on that.
Okay. I'll go there. Yeah, because his white count is really, really low, so we have to be super, super careful. So he has ups and downs. You know, he seems to feel fine, and then all of a sudden, things are not good at all, and fever, vomiting, and all this kind of stuff, you know, and low blood pressure, and all kinds of things. But he has a lot of care because I should be signing for John. There's the regular nurses, you know, they're specialists for the myeloma, but also he's part of a study, so he has those people collecting data too, so there's a lot of people looking in, checking on him. Anyway, and generally he's doing well because the doctors are happy. All this is expected. You just have to climb that mountain and push through and just hope and pray nothing happens that that is life-threatening. Well, it is life-threatening, but not that they can take care of all the stuff that happens. So that's the prayer. And, of course, I've been praying that all is successful, too, besides that. But my number one prayer is that he gets through it, finds, you know, he comes out of it. And then if it helps, that's wonderful. Thank you for your prayers. It's just wonderful. We really, really appreciate your support. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other prayers that would be needed for people or for whatever? If not, today's schedule is we had Bible class, and we'll have the morning service, and then we'll have an afternoon song service. Wednesday night Bible study will continue this Wednesday. Communion is scheduled for November 24th, a members meeting for December 1st. And we'd like to start the coat drive in November this year to have it to be earlier this year. And also next week the clocks change, so just be aware of that. Otherwise, I think you'll be here an hour early, but that would be okay too. And then the mission focus is in Argentina. Is there anything else that needs to be announced? If not, pray for Brother Harry as he would have the service this morning. And can we sing from hymn number 144, Faithful Savior, We Are Here.
Good morning. I've always said that springtime is my favorite time of the year, but I really like autumn too. On Thursday and Friday, we were able to go up to Mount Kisco, New York, and there's a park there that we were able to walk through, and it's probably a little past peak season, but it was beautiful to walk. And it was even more beautiful because Cheryl was able to walk over a mile through the terrain with a new knee, you know, 4 months old knee. And she did very, very well. So it was beautiful to be outside, and just, it was a beautiful day also. So we had a very beautiful time there. Let's bow to pray. Thank you, Father, for the beauty that you provide for us each and every day. We thank you that you give us all these vibrant colors and sights and sounds and everything that you provide for us, and help us to be forever thankful for what you provide for us. And now we thank you that we are able to be here in this place, that you have brought us to your word, that as we would read your word, that we would learn from it, and that we would not just walk away with some theoretical understanding, but something that is truly impacts each of our individual hearts, and mine especially. I pray that you would give the words that we all need to hear on how we should live, how the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples and is still teaching us today. And we do pray a special prayer for Brother Mark and Sister Becky, that you continue to watch over them, be with all those who are caring for him, and give him the strength to endure, and let him be the light you have called him to be in this difficult time. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here with us and guiding us. And pray all of this in your holy name, Lord Jesus. Amen. So we'll continue in going through the Sermon on the Mount, and we'll start in chapter 7 today. And chapter 7 is the concluding chapter of the Sermon on the Mount. I'll read the whole chapter, but we'll focus on the first 6 verses. Matthew 7:1. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, Let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread will give him a stone, or if he ask a fish will give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Enter ye in the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns, or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So verse 1, judge not that ye be not judged. This may be one of the most misquoted verses in the Bible. That word judge can mean to analyze or evaluate. It also refers to private, judgmental attitudes that tear down others and attempt to build up oneself. Many use this verse to justify how they live. They say that no one has the right to judge their actions. But the rest of the Bible does not agree with that interpretation. 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, "He that is spiritual judgeth all things." 1 Corinthians 5:12 and 13 say, "For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth." In 1 John 4:1, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." All these verses tell us that proper biblical judgments must be made. Galatians 2:11 through 14. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them that were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled themselves with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, If thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews?" Peter was a Jew that believed in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Peter was a Christian. And then Christian brothers from Jerusalem came to Antioch. But these brothers from Jerusalem still followed the Old Testament custom and would not eat with non-Jews, even though they were their Christian brothers. And Peter, not wanting to offend these Jerusalem brothers, stopped eating with his non-Jewish brothers in Antioch. He was not being honest with his own Christian faith. And Paul rightly judged Peter for living inconsistently as a Christian. Matthew 8:15. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." There's more to read in this scripture, but this is the beginning of Jesus' teaching on church discipline. Clearly, Jesus is teaching that proper, righteous judgments must be made. In John 7:24, "Judge not according to appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Our judgments must be righteous. It cannot be based on personal preferences or feelings. Later on in this chapter 7, in verses 15 and 16, it says, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits." Again, a judgment must be made to determine who is a false prophet. I think we have all at times made invalid judgments. if someone doesn't look or act the way we think they should, we look down on them. In essence, we judge them. I'm going to have you give you three examples of judging others. One is from our church history. A member couple, Wendell and Barbara, came from Europe in the early 1900s. The wife wore a traditional scarf head covering that sisters wore in Europe. This was different than the hat head coverings worn by the U.S. sisters. At church, Barbara was coolly received by the sisters. After a few weeks, she started wearing a plain hat covering and was very well warmly received by the sisters. Barbara was very hurt by this experience. Second example. About 45 years ago, we had a brothers' meeting here in church. I don't recall the topic of the meeting, but I do recall one interchange. Werner Leiruber was there, and Carl Simmerich, his father-in-law, was there. And for some reason, Werner asked his father-in-law, "What did they call automobiles when you were young?" Carl Simmerich was born in the 1890s. I forget when. And he said, Carl said, "They were considered the devil's chariot." That's what the church thought of automobiles in the early 1900s, when they first came out. No brother would ever consider driving a car, no less owning one. Now look at us today, 130 years later. Yeah, so different. And number three example is more personal. About 20 years ago, I was teaching here at church, and I don't remember why, but I remember saying this, that tattoos are sinful. A Christian would never have a tattoo. And I was very dogmatic about it. And I don't remember anybody challenging me on it afterwards. But then a few years ago, at Easter camp, a brother with many tattoos was leading the inspiration hour. And as far as I know, I think he's a preacher now in our church. We have to be very careful in making judgments based on our preferences, our limited knowledge, or our limited experience. So what is Jesus saying here in verses 1 and 2? "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." Jesus is saying that when we judge others, we must expect to be judged the same way. We can find fault in what someone is doing, but then at the same time make an excuse when we do the same thing. You know, they had malicious motives for doing that, but for when I did it, it was an accident. There's no way to get around that. We're just, you know, bending our own mind around that. In all the examples that we read about judging others in the scriptures, it's always for the purpose of bringing back the offending brother or sister back into the fold. If they've done something wrong, they need to be corrected and brought back into the fold. It is not to proclaim, "Look, you were wrong." Another example from Scripture, Luke 18:9-14. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and him that humbleth himself shall be exalted. What did the Pharisee do? He exalted himself, and he looked down, he judged the publican. Have you and I ever done that? We read about something horrible or bad that someone has done, and are thankful it's them and not us. In a way, that's a form of judging. Do you know the German word Schadenfreude? It means to take pleasure in the misfortune of others. When you think about it, it's really a judgmental attitude. We see somebody fly by us on the highway, you know, driving 80 miles an hour, and then a mile down the road, we see them stopped by a state trooper. Yeah, they deserve that. Okay? That's judgmental. No doubt about it. Or worse, they're in an accident. Do we then pray for them? Or do we just say, yeah, again, they deserve that. All forms of judging. Verses 3 through 5. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, the beam is thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Jesus was a carpenter's son, and I'm sure he helped Joseph when he was a young boy. And Joseph probably made furniture for the home, for the farm, for the fields, and maybe even beams for the houses that had to be built. This example of Jesus is almost comical. Working in a carpentry shop, I'm sure it was normal to get a speck in your eye when, you know, with wood shavings. Yesterday afternoon, I went out to get the mail. It was a little windy, and when I came in, I noticed that there was something in my eye, and there was something, you know, a piece of dust in my eye, and I had to blink for a little while before it was washed out, and so I could see clearly again. So getting a speck in one's eye is a normal, everyday thing. But no one has ever seen a beam in someone's eye. You know, just take one of these beams and think of it, picture it coming out of my eye. You know, it's absurd. Now, no one would ever fathom that, okay? So take the two brothers. One who's got this little speck in his eye, and this other one who's got this humongous beam. You know, it says beam. It doesn't say, you know, a twig, a beam coming out of their eye. The absurdity of these two examples, okay? Which brother is in a better position to help the other brother see what their problem is? The one with the beam would have a very difficult time getting even close to the brother that has the speck to say, here, I found it. It's more likely that the one with the speck could say, you know what, I see a pink beam coming out of your eye. Yeah, maybe you should deal with that. In Jesus' parable here, he's trying to tell us that both the beam and the speck are a problem. They both have to be removed. And obviously they impair the vision of the person that has either the speck for the beam. When we notice a brother or sister with a potential problem, a potential issue, we need to perform an inspection. Play on words, inspection of our own eyes first. Are we seeing clearly? Is there a speck in our own eye? Is there a beam in our own eye? This requires an honest evaluation of ourselves. This requires prayer. It might require going to a brother or sister and say, look at me, is there something wrong in my life? Before even talking about the other brother, you know, make sure that we are not misunderstanding what's going on. And then Jesus goes as far in verse 5 as calling the brother with the beam a hypocrite. In chapter 6, Jesus reserved that word hypocrite for those that went about doing good before men, those that did nice, beautiful prayers before men, and those that fasted before men. The things that they were doing were not bad, doing bad things. They were good things, but they were doing it before men. They were doing it for show. They weren't sincere. Inside their heart, we don't know what they were thinking, but their purpose was to let others see, look at me. And Jesus was basically saying, "That's the they had that problem, and you have a problem because you've got this big issue in your life, and you're not seeing the issue, and then trying to point out a minor speck in your brother's eye." We need to continually look at our own individual lives to make sure that we are living authentic Christian lives and not just looking like a Christian. Verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn aside and rend you. In Jesus' day, dogs were not pets. They were wild animals. And pigs were unclean animals. Jews would never be around them. So, what is holy and what is a pearl? The Word of God is holy. The Word of God is a pearl. The Gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, who He was, who He is, what He did for us, that's all holy, and it's a pearl. We are all called to share that gospel with everyone. But if and when that gospel is rejected, Jesus is saying it's time to move on and give the gospel to someone else. This is clearly a judgment call. So in the beginning of these verses, he said, judge not. But then he's saying here, you need to make a judgment call when you see what you're sharing with others is being rejected. We can't make this call flippantly. I've heard too many people say, don't cast your pearls before swine. But I really think that they were just coming up with an excuse for not doing something. You know, we need to be careful in terms of how we apply this verse in our lives. Now, if you look at the whole verse, it says, they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. So if you take pearls and you give them to a pig, they'll probably try to eat them. They might even look like some food, but then when they realize it isn't food, they're going to be very upset, and potentially they'll turn around and run at you. You don't want to get in the way of a wild boar. So I think that's pretty much what Jesus is talking about here. It is very easy for us to criticize. There is a positive term to the word criticize, but there's also a negative. Criticize. Indicate the faults of someone or something in a disapproving way. That's what the word criticize means. You can have critical thinking, but to criticize is really in a negative way. I think you might have heard this story before. There were two boys that went to Sunday school together, and after church they went home. They came back for evening service, and one boy said to the other, "What'd you have for lunch?" And the one boy says, "We had roast preacher." It's very easy to criticize someone when they're not there, or just to find fault. It's one thing to have an honest conversation of the topic of a lesson or of a sermon, but roast preacher obviously has a totally different meaning. And I recall that some people actually had said that here in church before. So, as we make judgment calls every day of our lives, be it here at church, be it at work, especially when we deal with others, let's make sure that we make these judgment calls that are based on truth, based on Scripture, and not on our biases, what our likes or dislikes are. We need to make sure that when we evaluate things, we base it on truth. God bless His Word. Let's sing from hymn number 95, verses 1 and 8 in the black hymnal. 95, 1 and 8.
We thank God that He has spoken out of His Word today, and we ask that
we would take those things that we have heard and apply them to our own lives and to see how even when we are doing things wrong, that it's something we should examine our own lives, not examine other people's lives. We see that even in Christ, that it said he would be, it was prophesied that he would be spoken against. So here was the Son of God who hadn't done any sin, and yet he would be spoken against. And that may happen to us also, but it's we have to be careful about how we speak to others and the judgment that we use, that when we look at others that seem to be doing wrong, it would be expedient for us to examine our own lives and also to try to help out if you see some wrong in another person, that we would want to help them out. And hopefully if other people see something wrong in my life, that they would help me out. I think that would be something good. And I thank you, brothers Philly and Harry, for providing God's word, and ask that it would be received well and go into our minds and be a blessing to everyone. If I could ask Dylan or Jaden to have a closing prayer, that
let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for allowing us to come here to your house and just hearing your word. And Father, as we heard your morning's message, we just pray that we would go out into this week and not only think of the things that we heard today, but also apply to our own lives with the work of the Spirit, that we may not be so quick to judge others based on their appearance and our own understanding, but looking your word in truth, and examine our own lives before we do any of that, Father. We pray a blessing upon the food and the hands of the labor of the food, Father. And we pray for traveling mercies for all of us returning back home. And bless this church and all those who enter it. They may feel the love of Christ in it and all the members within it, Father. And we just pray and ask things in your Son's name. Amen.